I feel good about the roster. Certainly, you know, we didn't win the Super Bowl, so I mean, we can get better. Sure. And you know, I think all across the board, you know, I think that, you know, there's talent and that we can acquire, and we can get more depth on both sides of the football, and I think that's what makes it fun and exciting. I don't think we're going in there, you know, I mean, there's some specific areas that may be more, you know, apparent, or you may think, but I think, you know, the things that you do in free agency kind of protect yourself in the draft, so you don't have to take a player, you know, that you feel is a second or third round value in the first round. So you make some moves in the drafts, and maybe some moves are big, like the Honey Badger, and some smaller moves, but I think what you do is you protect yourself. And that's really one of the key elements of free agency. You go in there, and they don't have to be all big-name splashes, but if you can get guys like a Bashaud Breeland or a Damian Wilson to protect yourselves from overdrafting players, and I feel like this year, with the exception of quarterback, I mean, I think anything's on the table in that first round.
That's Chiefs general manager Brett Veach. His thoughts on the draft and the current Chiefs roster. Make some good points about the free agents they picked up, not marquee splash names except for Matthew. And this came before they made the Frank Clark trade. This is the press conference Brett Veach had last week. So Veach overall feels pretty good about the roster. He should. I mean, it's a team that, you know, had home field advantage and ended up just one stop away defensively, or one offsides away from being in the Super Bowl. But the bigger issues that he has to deal with is, one, you always got to deal with salary cap, and Tyreek Hill, which we'll get to here in a moment. But first, local sports, so we turn it over to Dusty.
Yes, not a whole lot going on today, but there is some softball this afternoon. The Sylvan Lucas Lincoln softball team is hosting Plainville Natome in a doubleheader at 4 o'clock there in Sylvan Grove. So that's what's going on today. We remind everybody, coming up tomorrow, the Bullet Relays, as we'll have reports every half hour beginning at 10:30 tomorrow from the Bullet Relays. And we'll have a preview of that coming up on our sportscast tomorrow morning as well. We'll talk to Coach Isbell about this year's version of the Relays and go from there. So that's coming up tomorrow in Beloit. Also, our NCKSSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. Congratulations to St. John senior Elle Eilert. She's had a great start. She stood out in field events throughout this year's track and field season for the St. John's Lady Jays. Latest performance garnered 2 gold medals on Tuesday at the Kaiser Relay, in Osborne. She won the triple jump with a mark of 33.9½, took gold in the long jump at 14 feet 10 inches. She also finished in third place in the 800-meter run there at Osborne on the season. She now has 7 gold medals in jumps. She's finished first place in every meet she's competed in. Hill City on April 15th, won both the triple and long jump. April 9th at Smith Center Redmond Relay, she won both the triple and long jump. And then in the season opener on April 2nd at St. John's Invitational, only field event she competed in was a triple jump, and she took the gold medal there as well. And she also had 2 other top 5 finishes in the 800-meter run this season. So Elle Eilert with an outstanding start to the year, and congratulations to her. She's our NCKSSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. We need your help in finding the athlete of the week. For more information, visit ncksports.com, and we'll announce the winners each week, and you can nominate an athlete from any school sport for the athlete of the week.
All right. Well, the news coming out of Kansas City yesterday, it comes from Johnson County District Attorney discussing the Tyreek Hill case. No charges will be filed against Tyreek Hill or his significant other.
The Overland Park Police Department and the Department of Children and Families, DCF, have submitted the results of their investigation involving Tyreek Hill and Crystal Espinal's child for consideration of charges. This office has reviewed all the evidence compiled by these agencies and has declined to file charges against Tyreek Hill and Crystal Espinal. We are deeply troubled by this situation and are concerned about the health and welfare of the child in question. We believe that a crime has occurred. However, the evidence in this case does not conclusively establish who committed this crime.
So that's not exactly a glowing endorsement that, hey, you've been cleared. It's just that we're not going to file a case because we don't have enough concrete evidence. You see this many times in the court of law and justice where people take things to trial and they don't have much of a chance of winning.
Yeah.
So you waste a lot of taxpayer money. And you, sometimes your ego gets in front of yourself as a prosecutor or a DA, and you know you end up knowing all along it was a long shot. But, well, we have a chance though, but it's not responsible. And this sounds like they don't have a lot to go off of in regards to getting any kind of conviction, but they do feel like something has happened, and they are worried about the 3-year-old boy's safety. which is not a ringing endorsement for Tyreek Hill or his fiance.
No, not at all.
And now you wonder, does the kid go back into the home? How does this work? There's going to be a closeful eye on what takes place here in the future. I don't know how you feel about this. I think it's a ticking time bomb.
It seems like it.
Because, okay, you might be on your best behavior for a year or so, but if there's some kind of anger issues, whether it's with his fiance or Tyreek Hill, and we know they've had an explosive relationship because, I mean, he did what he did to her when she was pregnant with this kid, and that's what got him in hot water and almost didn't even get drafted in the NFL while he left Oklahoma State, and he pled guilty to this. And so they have a very volatile relationship, it sounds like, or at least at one point they did.
Yeah.
And that's not good for a child to be in that environment at all. But if they can't prove anything, you really can or shouldn't take the kid away because you can't prove it, but yet at the same time you have really big concerns. This is a great example of what people on the in social services and in child care, foster care, whatever it may be, displaced children, abuse, neglect. This case that we're hearing about right now, Tyreek Hill's fiance and a 3-year-old child, this happens every day across the country.
Oh, yeah.
In some cases, much worse cases than this. And so, you know, I there's no way, and we said this, I didn't think, even before this came out, I didn't think the Chiefs should give Tyreek Hill a $100 million contract extension because of his past, and it was only 3-4 years ago when that happened. To me, you just franchise him at least 1 year. And it might be a blessing in disguise for the Chiefs that this came up so that they do not give him that big contract extension and the guaranteed money. But at the same time, it does pose some problems for the Chiefs. Will the NFL suspend Tyreek Hill? If so, for how many games? Because there doesn't have to be charges necessarily filed for the NFL to suspend Tyreek Hill.
Doesn't mean that you're charged or in jail or anything.
Right.
Like that.
So Tyreek Hill could be suspended first 4 games of the year, 6 games, 8 games, whatever the NFL wants to do. Kareem Hunt suspended for the first, 8 games?
8, I think, yeah.
8 games, and that was on video. So I think Tyreek Hill would be less, but he'd be a repeat offender in essence, even though the first thing he did was before he got in the NFL. So it'd be interesting if the NFL does anything to Tyreek Hill. And then the second thing is, how do the Chiefs hedge their bet to protect themselves in case Tyreek Hill has, or something happens to him and his fiance, and the child, or just between him and his fiance, again, to where he is a ticking time bomb, or the situation's a ticking time bomb, and you have to hedge your bet and maybe get some protection. And would that mean the Chiefs might draft a wide receiver in the second round tomorrow because they don't have any picks tonight? We'll get to the Chiefs and their draft coming up in a moment, but let's go back to the Frank Clark trade, which we discussed yesterday on the show. And by the way, the statement from the Chiefs on Tyreek Hill: this afternoon, we were informed that Tyreek Hill will not be charged by the Johnson County District Attorney's Office due to the continuing investigation by the Department for Children and Families. We will have no further comment at this time. Well, that's what you would expect the NFL or the Chiefs to say. So we get that. The Frank Clark contract. We were wondering yesterday, how does it shake out? According to Albert Breer, it's a base of $104 million over 5 years. But it seems to be 3 years are pretty solid, and then he might not see the last 2 years of the contract. Cash flow is $10.5 million over year one, $43.8 over two, $62.3 over three. Full guarantee of $43.8 million. Another $18.5 million triggers early, so about $63 million as we reported yesterday. Injury guarantee of $62 million. Also, the Chiefs put in $1.195 million in workout bonuses in years one through three. So what I'm reading and I've been hearing is that it's basically, it's a 5-year contract, but it's more of a 3-year contract. So stay tuned. We'll see if Frank Clark is worth that, plus the draft picks that the Chiefs gave up. Now, the Chiefs made the move for Frank Clark and, of course, changed defensive coordinators and added Tyrann Mathieu and others, because they needed to improve an NFL defense that was ranked 31 out of 32 teams last year. And I've heard various places talk about how, and we even talked about last year, if the Chiefs could just been 21, odds are they would have won the Super Bowl. Or made the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Either way. And so I've had some conversations with folks, and it's like, well, that's hard to jump from 31 to 21, isn't it? No. It's not hard at all, actually.
Yeah.
In fact, every year since 2002, so that would be, the last 16 seasons? Every season for the last 16 seasons, an NFL defense ranked in the bottom 10 of the league, the very next year has shot all the way to a top 10 spot. So we're not even talking about going from 31 to 21 as a major jump. That should happen.
Yeah.
The Chiefs can actually, if they end up being a top 10 defense and this offense does 80 to 90% what they did last year, the Chiefs are Super Bowl champions more than likely. That was a big if. But what's interesting about this list of defenses that have jumped from the bottom 10 to the top 10 the very next year, and this is in regards to yards allowed, there is an interesting name that's on this list. Do you have any idea who I might be referring to?
Steve Spagnuolo?
Well done. Steve Spagnuolo, the new defensive coordinator for the Chiefs in 2006 and 2007, had the New York Giants defense year one, or the year, I don't know if that was, if Spagnuolo was the coach the year they finished 25th. But the next year, they were seventh in total defense in yards allowed. They went up 18 spots. So Spagnuolo's done it before. Now you give him Frank Clark, Tyrann Mathieu. You got some edge rushers. And here's the thing. The reason the Chiefs really wanted Frank Clark is Steve Spagnuolo has certain criteria for the types of defensive players he wants. And Clark checks all the boxes. D Ford did not. So when people get all riled up about, well, we could just kept D Ford and we would have been less money if kept D Ford, we would still have a first-round draft pick. Yeah, but he didn't fit the system. That's why the Chiefs were ready to unload him for a second-round draft pick in next year's draft. So Spagnuolo, he's getting guys that he wants, and that now leads us to the draft, which begins tonight. The Chiefs do not have a first-round pick, thanks to the Frank Clark trade. And the Chiefs really don't have a glaring weakness other than the overall defense, which they've already addressed. So what's the plan for the Chiefs? Can they pick anybody, or do they need to look for an area of need? Here's Brett Veach on that.
We're just looking to find another great player, period, offense or defense. I think the cool thing about having the league MVP is, you know, he makes people around them that much better. So that's a luxury we have. And if we can get him another tool, we absolutely will. But I think in general, we're just looking to find playmakers on both sides of the football. I don't think we are going to be geared toward offense now because Pat is so good. But we're also aware that Pat is so good. So if there's somebody out there that can make him even better, we'll be all for it. But I think just in general, I think we just want to add playmakers anyway, you know, and that includes special teams too.
So anything really is on the table for the Chiefs tonight or tomorrow night. They could trade up to get, because it's just the first round tonight in Nashville, starting around 7 o'clock tonight. If they don't draft at all in the first round, that's probably a good thing because they didn't spend a whole bunch of picks to trade up to get in the first round. Although if there's a guy they really, really like, Brett Veach, we know, is not afraid to move up. He did it a couple times last year. He did the big trade for Frank Clark earlier this week. So what about trading? Mr. Aggressive, Brett Veach, well, what's your philosophy? How does this work if you want to trade up or trade down?
Unless you're picking in the top 4 or 5, when you know exactly the top 4 or 5 guys, but once you get to, like, especially where we are, like, picking so late, you'll have a lot of dialogue, but there's really nothing that can be anything concrete because no one knows how the first 25 picks are going to go. But it's typical, and I typically do the same thing. Like, look, let us know. And I think the good thing to do now, though, is to not get too far ahead of yourself, but I think you can talk about value. So hypothetically, I can call a GM up and say, all right, well, we're in the second round, and if we want to do something in the second round, what would you be looking for, just pick-wise? Because everyone has a trade value chart index, and everyone's chart's a little bit different. And it's amazing how when you call on draft day, it's like, you know, you're like, this should be an even trade, and it never works out that way. I mean, the team always thinks you're ripping them off, or a team calls us, we always think, you know, they're ripping us off. It's amazing. It's funny because we just had this conversation about an hour ago. We were going through, I think we have like 8 team charts that we've accumulated from different teams over the years. And every year, you know, we get into a position where we're going to trade up or trade back. And we're like, yeah, that's the team. And we have their old chart. We're good. And they're like, you're way off. So it just, but I think you can have the dialogue about everyone's going to be open to something. And I think once you get closer, you can have more concrete and firm dialogue on what it would take to do something if we get into that position, and whether it happens or not, you have to wait and see how the cards fall.
What about the positions? Where's the strengths, where the weaknesses in this year's draft? Each addressed it.
the O and D line, I think it's pretty strong. I think in that first round, you're going to see a lot of defensive linemen off the board early. Certainly the quarterbacks that have been talked about, I think, will go. And then after that, I think you have a really strong early pocket of defensive linemen. And then I think tackle. I think there's a nice wave of tackles, four or five guys that are going to go pretty early. I think there's some depth in the second, third, and fourth round at wideout and at tight end, which would be helpful to us. And then I think the corner, the corner class is strong. There might not be that top 10 guy that you have every year, but I think it's deep in rounds 1, 2, and 3. I think the linebacker class and safety class is a little thin, if I'm being honest, but I think everywhere else there's some really good depth.
You notice that? Safety and linebacker are a little bit thin. Got a linebacker in Damian Wilson from the Cowboys. Picked up Tyrann Mathieu, 3 years, $42 million. They addressed two areas they think are thin. They knew even before they traded for Clark, they knew they had a late first-round pick. So it's interesting to hear what he had to say there. He also was talking about tight end and wide receiver. And he mentioned corner, pretty deep. If it's pretty deep, then the Chiefs should be able to get a good corner, a decent corner at pick 61 or 63 tomorrow in the second round in the NFL draft. What about wide receiver? With the situation with Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins is injury-prone, as we know. Chris Conley no longer with the Chiefs. Travis Kelce has had some concussions and is, not getting any younger and maybe nearing the end of his prime, not his career, but the end of his prime. What about wide receiver, and would the Chiefs draft a wide receiver?
We have a good group of guys that we really like. We did get banged up there a little last year, but that is really consistent with all the positions across the board. And that's why I think you always, again, going back to the free agency period, you want to put yourself in a position where you don't have to reach, because if you just didn't have a capable starter like a Bashaud Breeland, say, and then, you don't want to draft a third-round corner where you can draft a first-round talent at wideout. So I think you just want to stick true to the talent, stick true to the board. There's some young guys we like. The kid from Kansas State, Pringle, I think we're really excited about. He had that great preseason game last year, hurt the hamstring. He's busted his tail in the offseason. He looks really good. So I think he's a guy that can step up and surprise. So we have some guys that are still here that maybe people don't know about or realize that we know more about. But, receiver, if there's a receiver that we like early on, we absolutely wouldn't hesitate to pull the trigger.
All right, so Brett Veach, I thought he was very candid and open and very relaxed as well in regards to what the Chiefs are looking for. And I think, if you read between the lines here, anything is on the table except quarterback. There are a lot of talented defensive linemen in the draft, and especially in the first round, but the Chiefs aren't in the first round. So perhaps that depth of defensive line, they'll pick up another defensive lineman, maybe a run stopper, because they don't need pass rushers, it doesn't appear. Corner, he mentioned. That's certainly an area that you and I talked about yesterday on the show that we think might be the biggest priority. Tight end, they do lack a little bit of depth there, although they picked up Blake Bell, the former Oklahoma quarterback, who's a tight end. He hopefully can catch better than Demetrius Harris, who's no longer with the Chiefs, but Demetrius Harris was a good special teams player and a good blocker. I'd say tight end maybe is a bit of an area of priority. Wide receiver, as we mentioned, the reasons why there. And like we talked about yesterday, I think offensive line is a place they might have to address, and even running back. So the Chiefs have needs, but they don't have pressing needs, and that's really great to know as a general manager when you go into a draft that, I don't have a first-round draft pick, but I have 61st and 63rd pick, and then I have a third-round pick. I've got three of the top 100 picks. I still can get some guys to help with our depth and provide some insurance, because I don't think you're going to get a big-time impact player, although you could. Not saying can't. Russell Wilson was, a third-round draft pick? Quarterbacks, running backs, we mentioned Kareem Hunt, Jamal Charles, third-round draft picks. Jared Allen was a fourth-round draft pick. Justin Houston was a third-round draft pick. Frank Clark, who the Chiefs just traded for, is a second-round draft pick. So you can get some really good players in the second, third, fourth rounds. And Tom Brady, of course, the greatest example, a sixth-round draft pick. So just because you're not in the first round doesn't mean you can't have a good draft.
Yeah, Travis Kelce, he wasn't a...
He was a third-round pick, if I remember right, out of Cincinnati.
You can find guys that...
And he fell because of a lot of injuries he's had in college.
Yeah, and no matter what the reason is, you can find guys... Tyreek Hill was a fifth-round pick, probably could have been a seventh-round pick, but...
Or he could have been a first or second-round pick if he didn't have issues off the field.
Yeah, if he didn't have the issues, he would have been probably a second or third-round pick, but... But yeah, I mean, you could. I mean, how many times have we gone through some Chiefs drafts in the past, and most of the time their first round pick doesn't pan out, but it's the guys that they pick later that are actually better. So, you know, you've got to use this and take advantage of every pick you can, and some of them are going to work out. It's not an exact science is what we're trying to say. Some of them are going to work out that you pick early. And you traded up to get Patrick Mahomes. That looks like it worked out for you. But, you know, you can still find quality all over the place. I mean, there's a lot of good college football players that are looking for teams to go to and can be improved with the right coaches too.
Right.
It's not always about what they did in college. It's about what you can do when you get them at into your organization and how good your coaching is to get them up to the level they need to be to play at the NFL.
Absolutely. Now, this is we mentioned Travis Kelce, and I mentioned that the Chiefs could maybe get a tight end. Here's another reason why the Chiefs may want to go a tight end if there's a good one out there, because, as I mentioned, Kelsey's going to turn 30 during the upcoming football season. And NFL players, when they hit 30, there's tend to be a decline. Especially Kelsey's taking a lot of punishment as a tight end going over the middle, and he's had multiple concussions, as we talked about. And there's a talk show host in Kansas City on 610, which I think they like to stir stuff up on purpose. But it's an interesting point, this one is, because I've wondered it as well, and I don't think it's something the Chiefs would do this season. But next offseason, maybe, depending on the situation, because, you know, you might need some cap flexibility. You might give extension to Mahomes next offseason. If you give an extension to Chris Jones here yet this offseason, if something changes at Tyreek Hill, or maybe you want to go get a high-priced free agent that's out there, who knows? Should the Chiefs consider trading Travis Kelce? And now, the first reaction for most Chiefs fans would be like, what are you talking about, Willis? Why would we trade Travis Kelce? I'm not saying the Chiefs should trade Travis Kelce now. I'm not saying they trade him this season. But it is something that I think the Chiefs probably at least have thought of, because there's really nobody on this roster that is untradeable except Patrick Mahomes. So, now the thing is, Kelce's high production. But if he falls off a little bit this year, has some injuries, and the Chiefs draft a decent or really good tight end, and the tight end class is fairly deep, according to Brett Veach. And remember, Kelce was a third-round pick. So you might be able to find the replacement for Kelce in the third round. You could be looking at a year from now, the Chiefs trying to move Travis Kelce a day before the draft. And you may say, well, that's crazy. Well, he would be then 30, going on 31 a year from now. And we mentioned the wear and tear. And if he still has value, that's the time to move on. That would be the Patriot way of doing things. Move on from a guy around 30 that's still a good player, but he's not maybe as great as he once was, or you can see the decline starting to happen. And the Chiefs, I can assure you of this, Brett Veach and everybody else, that they look not, I mean, they're looking short term. They want to win a Super Bowl. I get that. But they also have to, if they're responsible. They have to also be looking at, where are we going to be sitting cap-wise going into, how do we handle things when we want to give the extension to Mahomes? How much is that going to cost us? They got guys that are hired in the Chiefs organization to simply crunch numbers.
Oh, yeah.
And I could see the Chiefs moving on from Travis Kelce next offseason. Should they move on from him now? I'd say no.
I'm not even entertaining it.
Especially with Tyreek Hill situation.
Yeah. If you want to be what you were last year offensively, I'm not even close to entertaining
it
right now.
To me, why would you make a move for Frank Clark and then you trade Travis Kelce?
Yeah.
I don't think that makes any sense at all. But the point of the discussion, and I think it's a valid one, is a year from now, when he's 30, almost 31, and a lot of it will depend on how good of a season he had, certainly. But even if he has a really great season, but the Chiefs have other weapons or younger guys that are developing, say a tight end or another wide receiver they draft this year, or maybe they got a young running back they draft and he ends up being the next Kareem Hunt or Jamal Charles, perhaps the Chiefs will say, listen, we're going to move on and cut bait before he becomes that declining player, and then we get less value for him. That should be considered of every player in every sport on every roster, except probably your franchise quarterback or the ace of your pitching staff. You know, you should always be thinking about that.
Or James Harden, Kevin Durant.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
You're not going to trade them.
No.
Now they might be free agents. They might leave.
Right.
But,
yeah. Steph Curry. Yes, you're not. Yeah. You're probably, you know, Paul George. You know, guys like that. You're probably Joel Embiid. You're probably not trading those guys, but if you've got a guy like Clay Thompson, and he's going to cost you a lot of money, and you could trade him and get something for him before he's a free agent. By the way, he is a free agent at the end of this year, and it sounds like he'll probably re-sign with Golden State. You know, I mean, the Warriors could have tried to trade Kevin Durant, knowing that he might not come back after the season.
Yeah,
was anybody
going to
take
about
on
the only?
They could
the
have
only
done.
Place
well,
where
well, look
you
what
have
look, look what
like
the Toronto
that.
Raptors did. They traded for Kawhi Leonard with 1 year left on his deal, hoping they can, one, make a run, and two, they could convince him to stay, which I don't think is highly likely. But the Spurs moved on because there was all kinds of a breakdown. But usually you don't trade a franchise guy. And that was extenuating circumstances because the guy missed 73 games last year. It was a weird
situation.
Didn't
want any part of the Spurs anymore.
Right.
It was obvious.
It's a weird situation. You know, Zach Greinke didn't want to be part of the Royals anymore.
Yeah.
And the Royals would have probably liked to have kept him. So, really, anybody on your roster, unless it's the absolute biggest superstar, which obviously the biggest superstar for the Chiefs is Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, yeah.
You got to do whatever you got to do to make sure you get him signed to an extension, which you don't have to worry. You will. You control him for the rest. I mean, rest of his career, basically. I mean, Mahomes is, I don't think, going to sit here and go, yeah, I'll just ride it out and not accept $45 million a year.
Yeah.
And I'll try my chances of free agency. No, he's not going to do that. That's why teams give so much money to a quarterback. They're not letting him go. And that's why the Seahawks just gave Russell Wilson a huge contract. Ben Roethlisberger just got a 2-year, $61 million extension, or 63.
Yeah.
That's insane for his age. And that's the guy that's talking about retiring a couple years ago, and a guy that supposedly is part of the problem and why Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown left or didn't want to be a part of the team anymore. So that's interesting because I don't think Ben Roethlisberger is even close to the leader that Patrick Mahomes is or can be.
Not anymore.
Yeah. So if Ben Roethlisberger is getting $31 million a year, in an extension, at his age, what's Mahomes worth? I'm telling you, north
it's
of 40.
Insane, yeah.
North of 40. He might become the first $50 million player a year. He might. I don't know if we'll get that high, but I think 40 to 45 is right there. So the Chiefs have to adjust or have to be ready for that. So who do you give big contract extensions to? Well, we messed up with Eric Berry. We messed up with Justin Houston. We did not mess up with Dee Ford. We may be messing up with Frank Clark. We're probably okay with Tyrann Mathieu. It's only 3 years, $42 million. You got to pick your guys you can give extensions to, and that's why another reason why I didn't ever understand giving Tyreek Hill an extension even before the latest things came up with his son. Chris Jones, I get. Frank Clark, okay, I get. Patrick Mahomes, I get. I don't know. I have to look up Travis Kelce's contract. But,
he's 2022.
Yeah, so you already got him locked up.
You don't need to extend him.
I would not. I don't.
His numbers aren't going to
like
jump up that much that you have to restructure.
Unless he holds out wanting a new deal, and then you trade him. Because if that's the case,
that's what I'm saying,
then
you trade him. If he holds out, that's the only way you're going to have to adjust that contract. I don't think he's going to have the justification to hold out
that
at this age.
And with the Patrick Mahomes he gets to play with?
Yeah.
And that also helps the Chiefs, obviously, in free agency, getting some guys maybe to come in the future because, hey, well, I think it helped to get Tyrann Mathieu.
Oh, yeah.
I can play with Patrick Mahomes. That team's going somewhere. They were so close to win a Super Bowl, and I can be the difference. Frank Clark, I know, is excited to be with the Chiefs. Of course, he has 105 million reasons why he's excited to come to the Chiefs. But I think when you look at the Chiefs overall, Travis Kelce, he's on his last contract with the Chiefs, which would take him to age 32, 33, and he will more likely be a declining player. And even if he's a Pro Bowl level then, the Chiefs, I think, at that time, and it depends on the whole situation with everything else, I think you would have to think about trading him then, or you trade him when he still has years on his contract. So a team you trade him to has some years left, and that creates more value, and they might give you a second-round draft pick for Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
And then you take that money, the cap flexibility you get by trading him. That's what people forget. A lot of people get caught up in, we gave up Dee Ford for a second-round draft pick. He's worth more than that. You saved $87 million.
Yeah.
You saved at least $16 million just on the franchise tag alone. So the cap flexibility is worth a draft pick, in essence, in my opinion, if not more.
Oh, yeah.
So you could. So it's not as crazy to think about Travis Kelce being traded. I don't think it makes any sense anytime soon this year. But it is an interesting topic, and I don't think it's crazy to bring up.
No. Let me clarify that. He's actually a free agent beginning in 2022. So okay, there's so 3 years left on his contract.
Yeah. So at 2021.
It's the same concept. I mean, it's 2021. Nothing really changes but what we were saying.
So he'd be 32.
Yeah.
And that's not a great time to re-sign a tight end to a big contract.
He's got 3 years on his contract. And once he's 32, 33, it's like, eh. You're not getting a real big extension from that point. That's do you want to be a Chief for the rest of your life or not?
Exactly.
You know, you're gonna have to take probably a cut in pay.
Travis Kelce base salary this year $7.5 million, $7.2 million next year, $7.5 million is last year. Dead cap money isn't that much.
No.
So it's actually not a bad deal. Oh, I'll tell you what, I can see Kelce. I'll tell you what, if Kelce has a great year this year, He might hold out, try to get more money because it'd be his last shot.
Yeah.
To get a big deal at the age of 30.
Yeah.
That could be a problem next year. He might hold out now that you look at this contract because you could argue he's underpaid.
Oh, there's no question.
Five years, $46 million. That's $9 million a year on average.
Yeah.
$20 million was guaranteed. That was a friendly deal for both sides, especially the Chiefs. Nah, I'll change my tune. If he's all about the money and not about winning per se, especially if they win the Super Bowl this year, you have a ring. He might next year just say, you know what, I'm holding out. I want a new deal.
Yeah.
Because this is the last time I'm going to get it.
It's predicated on what they do on the field. I would agree with that. But I just, from that aspect, what we're talking about here, not whether Travis Kelce's going to do it, is whether the Chiefs are willing to trade him or not.
Right.
So if that happens, then yeah, the Chiefs are willing to trade him because I don't think they're going to give him the money that he would want if he would hold out because it's not smart. It's
also,
not,
it would depend on what you have behind him. If you draft a good tight end this year, there's a great prospect in next year's draft, a tight end or things like that.
Yeah.
But things can change. I mean, Mahomes, like I said, if Mahomes, you know, gets hurt and misses all of the next season, everything could change. Now, you might not give him the extension right then and there, and who knows what might happen. And if Kelce gets hurt and doesn't have a good year, he probably doesn't really have a lot of leg to stand on to have a holdout. He has a monster year. He does. He may hold out. He may not. He might be happy, and there's no problems, but it is something to think about. And as general manager and guys higher up in the organization of any professional sports franchise, you have to be thinking down the line, not just short-term and near-term, but you got to be thinking long-term a little bit. And I can guarantee you the Chiefs have probably already thought about this that we just discussed with Travis Kelce. Okay, once again, make it clear, we're not saying that the Chiefs should trade Travis Kelce now. We're not saying the Chiefs will trade Travis Kelce now or during the season. We're saying next offseason it might be a consideration. All right, the NFL draft is tonight, as we mentioned, first round. Here's your order of picks. The first pick is held by the Arizona Cardinals. Many people think Kyler Murray will be the number one overall pick, but there is some intrigue. A new development. With less than 24 hours to go until the start of the 2019 NFL draft, Kyler Murray already making headlines, not for the reasons he was hoping. The Oklahoma quarterback was scheduled to be at a charity event on Wednesday, but he ended up being a no-show. Although Murray missed the morning event because he didn't arrive in Nashville until after 1 p.m. Central Time, a report from the Arizona Republic painted a more unflattering picture. According to the Republic, the reason Murray didn't show up at the charity event is simply because he had other places to be. If the Republic's report is accurate, it's not a great look for Murray. Skipping out on a charity event is never ideal, but doing it one day before you're potentially going to be the number one overall pick in the NFL draft is even worse. Do you think that's enough to suddenly have the Cardinals? If the Cardinals, and it's a big if the Cardinals have already decided Kyler Murray is going to be the number one pick, do you think they're going to change their mind because of that?
No.
I don't either. So there's some guys now saying that Murray is going to drop to the Raiders at 4. Oh, God, please no. I don't want Kyler Murray with the Raiders. I really don't want to see him in the division. I think he's explosive enough to ruin some things for the Broncos, the Chiefs, and the Chargers, especially for, you know, you're in my Chiefs. I hope Murray goes to the Cardinals. And then that means where does Josh Rosen go? Because then the Cardinals could make a big trade with Rosen, maybe get some good value, maybe, or they just hold on to him and he's a starter and then Murray sits for a year and then Rosen is traded. I don't know how they're going to handle it because they could have a lot of, you know, high draft picks tied up at quarterback, obviously, with Rosen last year and Murray this year. So, who knows? Arizona may trade out of that pick. Maybe that's possible. Maybe the Raiders trade up. Raiders got a ton of ammunition in this draft. The Raiders could trade up to 1 and get Kyler Murray, and the Cardinals get a big haul for him. Could happen.
Yeah.
I'm hoping not. So, the Cardinals' projection here is to take Kyler Murray. Nick Bosa expected to go to the 49ers with the second pick, and then the mock draft really kind of is all over the place because you have 1,000 people with mock drafts, and one trade changes the whole mock draft thing. So I don't spend a lot of time wasting time looking at the draft mocks.
The only thing that would really surprise me tonight is if Nick Bosa is not the second pick.
I would,
because everybody has him going to the 49ers.
And you can, I tell you what, they have D Ford. They got a good. I mean, the Niners are a team on the rise.
Oh yeah.
And if Grapple didn't get hurt last year.
Yeah, exactly. They're way better than what they were last
year. Their defense could be one of the best in football.
Quarterback is healthy.
So Kyler Murray projected number one to the Cardinals. So the Cardinals have the first pick. The Niners the second. The Jets are picking third. The Raiders fourth. Tampa Bay fifth. The Giants sixth. The Jaguars seventh. The Texans eighth. The Bills ninth. The Broncos picking 10th. And maybe they'd take a quarterback. I don't know if there's quarterbacks sitting there. 11th is the Bengals. 12th, the Packers. The Dolphins pick 13th. The Falcons, 14th. I think one of the most intriguing guys on the draft board tonight, where does Dwayne Haskins of Ohio State go?
Like you were talking about the Broncos, are they going to pick a quarterback? I just looked at Mel Kiper's last mock, and he's got the Broncos taking Haskins.
I could see the Raiders getting Haskins.
Yeah.
I could see the Raiders taking him at 4. I could see Haskins. Almost seems like it happens every year now, where there's just a run on quarterbacks, and they go higher than they should in some cases. And so we saw the Chiefs move up 17 picks. There could be a team. I don't know. Let's see. There's a team that really. How about the Giants? The Giants are sitting there with the 6th and 17th picks. They could take Haskins at 6, but if the Raiders are thinking about him at 4, the Giants could trade their 6 and 17 and move up with the Jets, which would be weird. New York trading with New York. And they could move up to get Haskins. I'll bet you somebody trades up to get Haskins.
Yeah.
And that could be the Broncos.
Well, yeah.
Are you worried about Dwayne Haskins NFL? Do you think he'd be a great quarterback? Would you be worried if the Broncos get Dwayne Haskins?
Nah. not like.
I've seen him play. He's really good.
He's good, yeah.
I think he's not a very mobile quarterback.
No.
People think Stephen A. Smith said he was running quarterback. That was hilarious because he didn't know what he was talking about.
That's a stereotype is what that is.
That's what it was, exactly. That's a black guy talking about a black quarterback, so it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But he's a pocket passer. He's a guy that can throw the football. He's got a great arm. He can move around, but he's not going to run. He's not anything close to Kyler Murray or even Patrick Mahomes in regards to his feet. I think somebody's going to trade up and give up a lot to get Haskins. I don't think the Broncos can sit at 10 and get him. I don't. So, and then there's the fear if somebody else might trade up above him. Uh-huh. So then you trade up just to be sure you get your guy.
And
the Chiefs knew that. They knew the Saints were going to take Mahomes at 11 in the draft a couple years ago. So they moved up with the Bills, of course, and got their man. It looks like the greatest trade in NFL history right now.
At least in Chiefs history, isn't it?
Franchises can be made or broken in the draft with moves like that.
Yeah.
The Redskins drafting 15th, the Panthers 16th, the Giants again at 17, the Vikings at 18, the Titans at 19, the Steelers at 20, the Seahawks have 21 and 29 thanks to the trade with the Chiefs. They got the 29th pick. Ravens at 22, the Lions 23, the Raiders have 2 first-round picks. No, they have 3 first-round picks. The Raiders have picks 4, 24, and 27. Holy shnikes. Eagles at 25, the Colts at 26, the Chargers at 28, Packers at 30, this mock draft has Drew Lock going to the Packers. That'd be a great situation with Drew Lock. I think he's a good quarterback at Missouri, and he needs a situation where he goes where he can be an understudy for a year or two. I think that'd be perfect for the Packers.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be a good NFL quarterback. Patriots at 32, the Rams picking at 31. Chiefs, I didn't mention them. That's because they traded their 29th pick, number one first-round pick, their 29th overall pick to the Seahawks. Chiefs won't pick till round 2, pick 61 tomorrow night. Unless they trade up. Think Murray still goes number one?
I do.
Okay.
Right now. Yeah, I just can't.
So based on what I see here in this mock draft, 3 quarterbacks going in the first round. Drew Lock being the third. Haskins the second. Murray the first. Do you think Kyler Murray is worthy of the number one pick? Do you think Kyler Murray is going to be a Pro Bowl quarterback?
Because
when you take a number one overall pick, you better be a Pro Bowler.
Yeah. I'm not seeing it, to be completely honest with you.
I'm kind of mixed on it.
But, like, I think he's got the skill set to do it. He's going to have some stuff around him, and I don't know, you know, if Arizona's the spot to be able to have success.
Larry Fitzgerald for at least one season.
Thinking into it too is like at Arizona, if he's the number, because you asked if he's the number one pick, so I say yeah, he's worthy of being the number one pick. Mm-hmm. Is he going to be a Pro Bowl quarterback? I don't know if Arizona's the spot for him for that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like you're on the edge there. They just haven't had a lot of success with high draft picks at quarterback. Their best quarterback in the
Carson
well,
Palmer,
their two best quarterbacks in the last 20 years Kurt have been Warner. Old guys.
Right, Kurt Warner
and Carson Palmer.
Carson Palmer, you're right.
Now, Leinart, and we'll see if Rosen would work out for him or not, but they just don't have a good history with younger guys.
No, they don't. So, and Cliff Kingsbury will be interesting, too. The college system and the pros with Arizona, and then he gets the guy that fits that system. If he's in the right system and he gets some pieces around him, I think Kyler Murray is going to do better than some people may think because he is electrifying.
And we
hear this every year. Well, they made great plays and they ran all over the place in college. They can't do that in NFL. I mean, people said about Cam Newton. Cam Newton did just fine. Now he takes some beatings.
Yeah.
He gets hit. That's the question with Murray. You know, can he stay healthy? Will he be durable enough? Can he run as much as he did in college and the pros?
Yeah. That's always the question with a lot of these. Robert Griffin III was the perfect example of that.
Like, of course, he's not built like Murray. He was a toothpick.
Yeah,
Murray's
it's just ripped. Like, you know, they do all these things, but can they withstand the beating that they're going to have? I see these guys pick themselves up.
Well, that was a knock on Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. Can he handle it, too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he's obviously bulked up since he was in college. Right. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, yeah.
See him at the Final Four of the guns.
Oh, yeah, the guns. Like,
good Lord.
Looked like me.
Yeah.
Not.
His biceps bigger than my quad. Like, it's not normal.
No. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the NFL draft tonight. We'll recap the first round coming up tomorrow, but we don't expect to have any news about the Chiefs. Other than previewing their second round picks.
I don't see them trading back into the first round.
I don't
or
either.
Anything.
They'd have to go up probably a second this year and a second next year to do that.
Yeah.
Might not be enough. College football overtime rules are going to change, and I like this. Although it's not going to happen very often. If a game reaches a fifth overtime, teams will begin to run alternating two-point plays rather than offensive possession start at the 25. So, you're tied at the end of the fourth overtime, fifth overtime. All right. K-State, you have a two-point play. You get it? Great. Texas gets a two-point play. They didn't get it? K-State wins. I like it.
You get the fifth overtime,
I don't have an issue with that at all. No. Yeah, I don't think it's a big deal, but it is interesting development that I didn't know was even on the table.
I didn't either.
So good news there. That will prevent the game from going to 6-7 overtimes, you would hope. All right, the Royals' offense comes alive yesterday. They went 10-2. I tell you, the Royals are on pace to break the Yankees' record of home runs from last year. Okay, I might be exaggerating just a little bit, but still, they're hitting a lot of home runs.
Ooh, deep left field. Mondesi has hit a three-run home run. And the Royals lead 8-1 in the sixth inning.
Merrifield with a homer, get him going in the third, and then there was Mondesi's shot, and the Royals, Jake Junis pitched well until he took one off the hand, but it's just a contusion, he's day-to-day, and the Royals roll over the Rays to salvage the final game of that series, and the Royals now 8-17, they went 10-2 yesterday. After the game yesterday, Danny Duffy was activated, Tim Hill was optioned back to the minors. And Danny Duffy will make his season debut tomorrow night. The Royals have an off day today. Danny Duffy will make his season debut versus the LA Angels tomorrow. And, of course, our Royals bus trip will be Sunday when the Royals take on the Angels on Sunday afternoon. So the Royals do win yesterday. And Ned Yost talks about the offense coming to life.
I was pleased that we continued to tack on, you know. Small ball, you know, worked good for us. We had guys running all over the place. Cam with another good safety. Gore with another bunt. Billy, you know, using speeds for triples. Mondi. So it was good. Plus the power. I mean, Mondi just crushed, you know, his homer. And just it was a good day for us offensively.
Royals back in action tomorrow night. Danny Duffy versus the Angels at the K. Kansas University has agreed to continue with Adidas for a very long, long time. KU yesterday morning announced the renewal of its partnership with the apparel giant, a 14-year extension that goes through June 30th of 2031. KU will receive an average of $14 million annually throughout the life of the new deal, which is retroactive to 17 and 18. KU and Adidas First teamed up in 2005, then extended our agreement in 2013. Of course, the whole situation with Sylvia DeSosa, Billy Preston, former Adidas consultant TJ Gastonola has made things difficult, and KU kind of tabled that new agreement with Adidas to do a little bit more investigating and everything, but apparently KU is okay with things. Of course, you'd be okay if you get $14 million a year. First-year athletic director Jeff Long said in a teleconference with reporters that while the college basketball corruption saga caused KU to pause finalizing its agreement with Adidas, both he and the chancellor came away from conversations with the company comfortable enough to dedicate the next decade plus to the partnership, so forth and so on. And Long went on to say he got asked a question about, you know, going with Adidas again. Understandable question, but I hope those who have those questions in their mind hope that Chancellor Girard and I and our staffs did a very thorough vetting of Adidas and what they're offering us. After extensive conversation, commitments, and meetings, we arrived at the decision that this is the best partnership for Kansas Athletics and the University of Kansas going forward. We're excited about the agreement. We believe it's one that benefits both athletics and academics. Now, the first reaction for, you know, the layperson out there is, what is Kansas doing with Adidas for another 13 years? My comeback to that, I think it's a fair thing to bring up, but my comeback would be, if not Adidas, who? You don't think Nike has skeletons in the closet? There's more and more of that stuff starting to come out. We already know that Under Armour is involved
with DeSosa.
So you got Under Armour and you've got Adidas that are involved. Adidas is maybe just not as good at hiding it. And Nike, we know they're not saints, and there could be more and more that comes down from Nike. So to me, this is just my opinion, I think you're dealing with three snakes. And I don't know if it matters what snake you sign with.
No.
So go with the snake you're most familiar with. Does that make any sense?
Go with the snake that bit you.
Yeah.
But didn't poison you yet.
Yet. Yeah, and there is protection for...
Well, they kind of did with DeSosa having to sit out here, but...
There is protection for Adidas, by the way. If KU goes on some kind of probation, there is protection for Adidas where they wouldn't pay out as much money to Kansas, by the way, which is smart by Adidas, even though they're the ones that might have caused that.
Well, protection because I went on probation, but it was my fault. Like,
right.
I guess I'm protecting my own problem.
I guess so. It is kind of weird when you think about it that way. So KU and Adidas is the richest deal in college athletics right now, in regards to college basketball, $14 million a year, KU and Adidas. Somebody will break that here fairly soon.
Yeah.
But right now, it's the highest-priced apparel deal in college sports and college basketball, I should say. Speaking of basketball, the NBA. Oh, my. So the Rockets win last night over the Jazz, close out their series. So they are going to have plenty of rest for the next series, which will be against Golden State, we think. Golden State last night had every reason in the world to finish out the Clippers so they can get some rest for the Houston series. And guess what? Didn't happen. Golden State has lost two games in the series at home to the Clippers.
Blue on the left wing for three. He put it in. Counted it a foul. Oh, my. Oh, my. Pure madness from Sweet Lou. Oh, my goodness. 120 to 118. Clippers out in front.
Scored halftime with 71-63. I'm like, wow. Clippers win 129-121. Golden State still leads the best of 7-3 games to 2. Now you have to sit here and go, if the Clippers win game 6, can the Warriors win at home? It's weird. But Lou Williams off the bench, he's one of the best players in the NBA. People don't even know about him. 33 points and 10 assists.
Lou Williams on my team.
He's Sweet Lou. He's smooth. Rockets win. Harden with 26. So the Rockets win 4-1. Warriors will close out the Clippers later on this week, as the Clippers are pulled away in 3-2. Only NBA game tonight, it's Dusty Spurs versus the Denver Nuggets. That's a 7 o'clock tip tonight on TNT. And if San Antonio wins, forces a deciding game 7. Nuggets win, series is over. It seems to me that every year in about every sport, at least, especially basketball and hockey, because there's more series than baseball, that we're guaranteed at least 1-7 virtually every, well, the first round, we're guaranteed at least 1-7 because you have 8 series. To me, this is a series that's going 7. I think the Spurs win tonight and you go 7 in Denver.
Hey, yeah, I think and certainly hope the Spurs win tonight, and I think they will.
Because
I really thought it was going to be the only series left, especially after the Warriors ended up taking the lead late last night. But the Clippers responded, and so we've got two that are still left.
But yeah, because all the other series are done. The East, there's no drama in the East at all.
Man, not at all.
And the West, the drama is the Nuggets and the Spurs. That's it. A lot of people thought the Blazers and the Thunder would go down to the wire, but that didn't happen. A lot of people thought the Jazz would give Houston a better run. So Clippers and Warriors tomorrow night.
The Pacers were going to give the Celtics a better run.
You know, I thought the Celtics would win in five.
Yeah.
Because I think that people have been sleeping on the Celtics because they were like the Warriors. They were just waiting for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And secondly, with no Victor Oladipo with the Pacers, that's a big blow when you come to the playoffs. They handled it well during the regular season. But as you know, the playoffs are a whole different animal. So I wasn't as surprised as you were on that. The Celtics, I still think.
I thought the Celtics would take care of them, but I'm sleeping like that.
Wouldn't be surprised if the Celtics come out of the East.
It wouldn't surprise me.
They got the Bucks next round. Bucks is the best record in the NBA.
Of the four teams that are left, there's no
in the East.
There's nobody that's going to surprise me.
No, I don't think
so. It could go to anybody.
Raptors, Sixers, Bucks versus Celtics. In the West, you've got Denver, San Antonio winner versus Portland, and then the Rockets, we assume, are going to play the Warriors, although that's not official. So there you have it. All right, Stanley Cup. I do not watch a lot of hockey. I don't. But last night, I happened to turn on the TV about 9:30, and I saw that the Warriors-Clippers are going to start their game, which I have no interest in watching the first quarter of any NBA game, usually. And there was Carolina and the Capitals in hockey game 7, and it showed that the broadcast is about over on my TV. I'm like, oh, I'm going to switch over, see what the score is. I switched over. They had just started overtime. I talk about this all the time. The best thing in sports, in my opinion, is Game 7. You know what's better? Game 7 that goes to overtime.
Yeah.
Or double overtime.
Wilson couldn't get his stick on the puck. Hurricanes keep it alive. Williams towards the net. Score! The Carolina Hurricanes win Game 7.
Third longest Game 7 in NHL history. I have to admit, I was watching it, and I was going, the next TV commercial break, I'm going to bed. Because I could be up for another hour and a half if this goes 3-4 overtimes. But luckily, they score about 9 minutes to go in the second overtime. Carolina upsets the defending Stanley Cup champion Capitals. This is pretty wild. For the last nine, let's see if I remember this right, the last nine Stanley Cup champions, I can't remember the exact stat, but maybe it's the last four. The last four Stanley Cup champions have lost the following year in the first round, all in Game 7. Kind of weird.
Yeah.
So the Capitals are out, and the Hurricanes are in. Hurricanes Islanders in the next series, the Bruins versus the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Stars of Dallas versus St. Louis Blues, the Colorado Avalanche against the San Jose Sharks, which are honestly my two favorite teams in hockey, only because I love the Sharks' colors. I had a jersey or a button-down shirt I loved when I was in high school. Although I like Vegas now, too. I like that atmosphere seems pretty cool. But the Avs are my hockey team only because my middle son is big into hockey and likes the Avs. I've been to an Avs game. They're the closest professional hockey team that I know of in our area. I'm not like I'm doing or losing any sleep if they do lose, I'll be honest. I'm a diehard hockey fan. But, hey, if the Avs can keep on moving on, that'd be pretty cool because they weren't very good last year. Not very good at all. So those are the matchups in the next round of the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. All right, let everybody know relay reports tomorrow from Beloit.
Yeah, again, the relays start at 10, so if you have a chance and want to go up and watch, they're going on all day starting at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. And if you can't make it, we'll have reports every half hour beginning at 10:30, and we'll get you up to date on all the area athletes that are competing. Basically, all our area schools are there, so I'm not going to list all those teams because everybody from our area will be competing tomorrow. At the Beloit Relays, so we're looking forward to that. And again, 10:30 tomorrow is our first report.
Sounds good. Look forward to it. Looks like the weather for once will be nice for the Beloit Relays. Although there's been years.
I'm not going to say that out loud.
Okay, we'll act like that was never uttered. Have a great day. On that note.